What's up, everybody? Welcome to the How to Lead podcast, a conversation designed to help you lead yourself and those around you. Clay, you look different. Are you certified in something right now?
Oh, funny you should mention that.
Yeah.
That's kind of you.
Yes.
Yeah, I got certified in the Working Genius. Pat Lencioni, the Table Group, they released an assessment about, I guess he released a book a couple of years ago, released an assessment about 3 years ago. And I get it, Adam. I know there's plenty of people that maybe feel over-assessed, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the last thing this world needs, I would say, is another assessment.
Yeah.
We have plenty. You know, we could just name them. There are thousands of assessments, honestly. We need another assessment in this world like we need another Avengers movie.
Yes, but there's another way to look at it,
and
that is
helpful.
They're helpful, and I think Working Genius is incredibly helpful. I think about with this, like the certification, and what we want to talk about with the Working Genius certification is, a couple episodes ago, we said, hey, this may be the year that somebody does what we did back in 2020 and 2021. This is the year somebody launches on their own, and what I love about this Working Genius certification is this is a great way to start a little side hustle that may turn into your business. And so talk a little bit more about the process and then where people can go to find out more.
Yeah, it's really 2 half days is the assessment process. But yeah, at the very least, it will help you understand yourself better. It'll help you understand your team at work better. And then as Adam said, you might love it so much that you end up finding ways to help other organizations with it as well. The thing that turned me on to it is I had a speaking engagement with United Healthcare, and then about a month later was with Mutual of Omaha. Mm-hmm. And in both cases, the session before me happened to be someone who was doing a Working Genius workshop for them. And I thought, wow, this is really becoming popular. The thing I love about it is it's most assessments, you know, are personality driven, tell you about your temperament, your personality. This is different because it's really telling you about your working style.
Yeah.
It's 80% productivity, 20% personality. Mm. It's the first assessment I found that told me why I would do some things at work and I thought that doesn't even feel like work. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole, if you love what you're doing, you never have to work a day in your life. And then there's other things I do at work that I'm like, I would rather stab my eye with a pencil, right? I need to lay down after doing that kind of work.
Yeah.
And it's because there's certain work that really is your genius. You do it so naturally and it gives you joy.
Yeah.
And then there's certain work that's really creates frustration for you and it will make you burn out and it will make you want to quit your job. And so, yeah, I would, if I were you, I would at the very least go find out a little bit more about it. If you'll use this link, go to workinggenius.me/how to lead, workinggenius.me/how to lead. You can see all the dates for the next few assessments, and it might just be something that could really bring a lot of value to where you are.
That's great. That's great. So workinggenius.me/how to lead. Go and check that out. Okay, Clay, we want to talk about something else today. This is actually something that David and I wrote about towards the end of The Edge, and it was a new idea. That's why we kind of threw it in as the last chapter. And it's just one of these ideas that I find myself very excited to continue to go around and talk about because it is, let's make it very dramatic. This is like a skill that every professional needs, especially every knowledge worker that's out there, to future-proof your career, to borrow a term from you that I heard from you, this idea of future-proofing. The future is going to belong to the people that have some ability to exercise this skill, hone this skill, get better at this skill. And I'll put it under this broad umbrella of this skill being attention management, or the ability to say not yet to easy and fun things so that you can do hard and important things.
And you're talking about not just in general in life, but like tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, your ability to do focused work for an extended period of time is going to set you apart.
It is.
From other people in the workplace.
Yeah. And it really is a reaction to this world. So I'm, in some ways, what we need to do is we need to refine that sense of agency we have as we walk through this world, because it is so easy to fall into this victim mindset with this world that we live in. I basically feel like this, that if I was going to use a crude analogy, that we live all the time in Walt Disney World. I mean, we are constantly surrounded by easy
Dole Whip.
And fun.
Oh, yeah. Space Mountain.
Oh, there's a fun ride. Oh, there's somebody. There's an opportunity to spend money. There's an opportunity to take a picture. And what I mean is that we're surrounded by easy and fun. I mean, there are so many games to play, so many videos to watch, so many
articles to read,
things to scroll
tweets
through.
To scroll. Yeah.
Yes, all of that stuff. Where I mean, I just saw this yesterday as I was trying to do some important work as I'm getting ready to go speak to a client next week. I've got to lead a half-day session on excellence, and I was doing some work on excellence, and I got stuck in this loop of like a minute on the content, a minute on the internet, a minute on my phone, back to the content, over to this website on my phone, and it's like, and Clay, I feel like I'm a pretty disciplined guy that can get some stuff done. And it is so easy to slip into this victim mentality of just living in Disney World all the time. And so I think the genesis of this idea, actually, I have to give credit to Andrew Huberman, came up with it years ago, that this is going to be one of these skills that really differentiates those who are going to be successful and not successful in the future. And I think he's dead on. Right. I think he's dead on with all of this. So attention management is a real skill now, especially for today's knowledge worker.
So you're going to help us do this. I feel like this is a specialty of yours, but you are susceptible to the same distractions that all of us are. But I feel like you've got a really great framework, a couple of things to think about as we're going to grow in our focus, grow in our ability to do mentally taxing work.
Yeah.
For a longer and longer amount of time. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I'll do two super practical things and then one that's a little bit more philosophical. The first practical thing is this, is like, listen, we have got to learn to just get the hard things done first, just every day. I think there was a book that out years ago called Eat the Frog, right? Which was do the hard thing first. My buddy John McGee used to start team meetings every once in a while like that. He would say, hey, what frog do you need to eat right now? And we all had to go around and say, what's a hard thing that I'm putting off? And so I think one of the secrets to attention management is just get the hard thing done first, and you'll be amazed at what it feels like to get that burden off your shoulders when you do that. So as you think about your day, I think it is, you know, structuring out your day and just going, okay, if it's a phone call I need to make that I don't want to make, I need to do that first. If it's an email I need to send, I need to do that first. If it's something to research, I need to do that first. If it's just an idea I've got to wrestle through, I got to come up with a potential solution to something. Just come up with a solution. Just do something and get that done first so that you're not going to feel that draw to procrastinate. Because I will notice that when I open up a document sometimes to write, that is when the temptation to go look at LinkedIn or to go to YouTube is strongest, because it's like you're about to do something hard and it feels like this invisible force is taking me away.
That's right.
And we've just got to fight through that and just get that thing done first. So that's what I'd say.
It really is the key also to just, I don't want to say happiness, but there certainly is more joy in life, right? Yep. Because we've all been there, where you dread the thing that you don't want to do. And some of this is just growing up in life, maturing in life, becoming an adult, right? Where you that lingering feeling of I've got this thing that I don't want to do, and it just stays with you. And as opposed to working throughout the day, carrying that feeling, get the thing done first.
Yep.
And then you'll be able to enjoy the rest of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that I still fall prey to it, but I know the truth of it and I know the power of it. And it's a great reminder to say, all right, as I look at all that I've got to do tomorrow, great people, successful people write down what they need to do in the morning and then they get them done. As I'm writing it down, when I see the hardest thing, I need to prioritize that and go, all right, I'm going to have to do that one first.
That's right. My relationship with vegetables has changed over the last 20 years since I've been married. It is a much healthier relationship now. My boy's relationship with vegetables is not good. It's where most children are. When you sit down at the Tarno dinner table at night for dinner, you would see me eat the vegetables first. And you would see my boys eat the vegetables last. And it is infinitely more painful for them when they eat it last because they're cold and it's the last thing to do. And so to me, that's trying to embrace this hard things first. Eat your vegetables first and then you can enjoy everything else. Now, the second one is a cousin of that. And that would be this. I would be leaning on Daniel Pink's research or what he talked about in his book, When, W-H-E-N, about timing. And it's basically this idea that we all have these rhythms throughout the day, a peak, a trough, and a rebound. And essentially, it's just a fancy way of saying we're always freshest, or most people with a normal chronotype are freshest in the morning. So on top of number one, do the hardest thing first, utilize the best time of day for you to do the hard things. For most people, and again, not for everybody, for most people, that's going to be the morning. And so again, there's something about doing that thing first thing in the morning. If you are somebody that you feel like, hey, I do my best work in the afternoon, well, great. Utilize your afternoon to be able to do that. But just think about, audit your time and your energy for a few days and just ask yourself, when am I the most energized? And those are great clues for you on, as to when you really need to do those hard things so that you're not wasting that attention in the morning or in the best part of your day.
I learned this from Cary Newhoff's book, At Your Best. Mm. Same principle, same idea. I think he's leveraging Daniel Pink's research as well, or the team that Daniel Pink hired to do the research. I'm sure Daniel didn't actually do the research. But
that's right.
Apologies, Daniel, if you actually did. For me, I'm exactly like you said, you threw Chronotype out like it was just nothing. Whatever that means, I am exponentially better in the morning than I am in the afternoon. And so whenever I'm in the middle of up against a writing deadline or in the middle of a writing project, I will make myself say no to breakfast meetings with people.
Yeah.
Because what I would find happen is the breakfast meeting would interfere with when I am at my best. I heard John Mayer do a video on this same, he did a little blurb on this same idea, saying that the worst thing creatively for a musician or an artist is having dinner plans, because in their case, they get into the studio in the afternoon, they get things dialed in, they start getting stuff really going, you get in the creative flow, and then you're like, hey, we got to leave because we got to go, we got these dinner plans. It's the same idea, but I'm an adult, and so I wake up before the sun comes up, right? I don't wake up at 10 a.m. But learning how to say no to some of those things so that I can reserve that time when I'm at my best to do the thing that is the hardest, that's been such a helpful practice for me.
And again, these are muscles we've got to use. These are skills we have to develop, because the world is constantly pulling us in opposite directions, and this is stuff that we've got to do. So do hard things first. Think about the best time of day to do the hard things and utilize that time of day. And then the last one, just real quick, is this is the mental, the philosophical shift. What I said in the very beginning is the skill is learning to say not yet to easy and fun. It's not learning to say no to easy and fun, because easy and fun is great. I mean, in some ways, it's awesome, this world that we live in, that we don't have to wait for television shows just to come on Wednesday nights like I did with 90210 growing up in high school, right? It's great that we have access to all of this stuff. The key here is reward yourself. Don't procrastinate. So if you can get in the habit of rewarding yourself for doing hard things. So if it's like, listen, I got to make 10 phone calls, but I really want to go to Instagram Reels. Just go get the 10 phone calls done, then go to Reels. And so that is saying not yet to Instagram Reels. Do the hard thing. Then I get a reward. I'm all about rewards that you've earned. And so go earn some rewards, reward yourself all day, all day. Just give yourself little breaks throughout the day. And that's awesome. And it's just getting in that habit of again, just going back to saying, eat the vegetables first, then reward yourself with dessert afterwards.
I was having a meeting with a lady that does a lot of representation for speakers. And she was trying to help me and a group of friends of mine who are trying to learn more about that industry. She was talking about the outbound work that she does to go and find speaking engagements for her speakers.
Yeah.
And she said, my kids make fun of me because my reward for myself after I make myself do an hour of outbound work, which is a lot of work.
That
to sit at your computer for an hour, sending emails, making phone calls, reaching out to people, internet sleuthing people to try to find their actual email address.
Yep.
That's hard work. And she said, my reward for myself is I let myself walk to the mailbox. I was like, you are on another level. And
it
I understand why your kids make fun of you about that.
Yeah.
But she's so intense like that. But I, you know, for me, Adam, I'm going to be straight up with you. I'm going to keep it 100. Going to the mailbox would not be my reward.
No, that wouldn't.
But I love the principle. It's the principle that you're bringing that, hey, instead of going, I'm going to do the fun thing first, leverage the fun thing to motivate yourself.
Yep.
Teach yourself, hey, you can. You are an adult. You have agency. You can make yourself do the hard, mentally taxing work for an hour. And then once you've made those calls, give yourself the joy of scrolling or yep. eating or walking to the mailbox.
Whatever it is. And you'll probably enjoy it more because it's a reward. It's not procrastination.
That's great.
You know?
That's
and great. So there it is. That's a skill. We could come back to this once a quarter because we all are going to need the reminders. And again, we're living in Disney World. We're constantly pulled by these distractions. And these are just some things that we need to remember. This is a skill to future-proof your career, especially for those of us in the knowledge worker world, where our ideas and our deep thinking, that's what we're getting paid for. And so we have got to have that muscle honed in and be able to flex it at the right time and keep that attention span going. All right, Clay, that's it. So workinggenius.me/howtolead, go check that out. And go for a walk to the mailbox. Reward yourself.
Reward yourself.
All right. We'll see you next time. Well, that's all we got for today's episode of the How to Lead podcast. You can always reach out to us via email. We can be reached at info@howtolead.work. That's info@howtolead.work. Every episode is mixed and edited by the team over at Sound of a Rose. You can learn more about them at soundofarose.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you again next time.